Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board. As we face the issues, we pray that you will be blessed, encouraged, challenged, informed, inspired to stand. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 58, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression." I believe that's what God would have every Christian to do, every child of God. We need to cry aloud and voice the statement as found in the Scripture, standing on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is the Word of God. So when we face issues, we do so not based on denominational distinctives or dogma, not based on some ideological, philosophical rhetoric, but based on the authority of Scripture, based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inner Word of God. That's called having a biblical worldview. And I believe as Christians today, we need to have a biblical worldview. That means studying the Word, knowing the Word, applying the Word, hiding the Word in our heart, that we might have an answer for anything that we're faced with in life. We need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. We need to be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints, the Scripture says. That means going back to the truth of the Word of God. As we face the world that today that, for the most part, hates truth, reminds me of the words of George Orwell. He said, "The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak truth." That's exactly where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. We have those in society that hate the believers simply because we are willing to stand on the truth of the Word of God. In a moment, we're going to speak on the subject, deal with the issue. It's in question form. Are Christians ignorant? Are Christians ignorant? Have a reason for saying that, and I'm prayerful that it will be a challenge to you today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have any dialogue and discussion on the issues that we're speaking of. We invite your comments, your calls, your involvement, your participation in this broadcast. Let me remind you, this Sunday, a very special day at First Conservative Baptist Church, we're going to be celebrating God and Country Day. We've done that for the celebration of Independence Day for many, many, many years in our church, and we continue the tradition, God and Country Day. It'll be held this Sunday, July the 7th. It will be at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Services start immediately, promptly at 10 o'clock. And we'll have some wonderful singing. The Groves Family Singers will be here in concert. They'll have a brief concert. We'll have Harry McKay, that travels the globe, travels the nation, dressed as Patrick Henry in the reenactment of the Patrick Henry speech. Most of you know the part of the speech. It winds up with "Give me liberty or give me death." Most are not aware of the 18-20 minute total speech that brings that to the conclusion in those few words, "Give me liberty or give me death." We'll have a wonderful message from the Word of God. We'll have an opportunity to have a barbecue lunch together. There's a small cost for the barbecue lunch. We will look forward to that luncheon together. And immediately we will move out of the lunchroom into a tent where on the side of the campus where we will have the ceremonial groundbreaking services for a retirement center that First Conservative Baptist Church is developing for the ministry outreach to the seniors in our area. It'll be called Shepherd's Care. We'll have some of our legislators present. We will have a number of special guests to assist with and participate in the groundbreaking service. And so we'll wrap up a wonderful time together by having that groundbreaking service. So let me invite you to come. It's First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the very heart of Mandarin. That's at 10 o'clock this Sunday, God and Country Day. And that Patrick Henry speech is a wonderful opportunity for you to be brought back in history as to what was said at that particular wonderful juncture in our life and history of America. And I want us to play just a brief minute and a half clip of that speech. Listen very carefully to the passion and to the words of Patrick Henry's speech in part in these moments together.
I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry in the past 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves in the house. Is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with those warlike preparations that cover our waters and darken our land. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. I ask, gentlemen, sir, what means this martial array? If its purpose be not to force us into submission, can gentlemen assign any other possible motive for it? Has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world that justifies all this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir! She has none. They are meant for us, and they cannot be meant for any other. They are meant to bind and rivet upon us those chains which the British ministry has been so long forging. And what have we to oppose them? Shall we try argument? Sir, we've been trying that for the past 10 years. Have we anything new to offer upon the subject? Nothing!
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard a clip of the speech, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, by Patrick Henry. That's a part of what you'll hear this Sunday as we celebrate God and Country Day at First Conservative Baptist Church. You're invited. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin, First Conservative Baptist Church. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You can call that telephone number, get your call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have your input as to what you think or say in relationship to our issue today. Are Christians ignorant? That's a question that I believe begs to be asked and answered based on what we have recently heard in relationship to Gay Pride Celebration Month that we're finding ourselves in or just went through in June. It seems that today, when truth is the focus, when you confront evil and immorality and wickedness with truth, then the bearer of truth is accused of being arrogant, ignorant, and wrong. Just this week in the Florida Times Union newspaper, an advocate for the LGBTQ immoral, ungodly recruitment agenda published a letter condemning and castigating those of us that are against the wicked, sinful, evil, harmful sodomite lifestyle. Here's a clip from that letter in the Florida Times Union. The title of the article, Anti-LGBTQ Rhetoric is Arrogant and Ignorant. In the article, it says, it's a letter written to the editor now, LGBTQ people don't choose their identities any more than they choose to be short or tall or to have a certain eye color. Those who suggest otherwise are promoting the kind of thinking that has fueled every human catastrophe in history, from the Crusades forward. It's ignorant. It's arrogant. It's wrong, that particular writer said. I'll not give the benefit of even giving the name. But the question is he correct? Is that letter right? So we're to believe that when we, as Christians, stand up and confront evil, speak against evil and wickedness, when we stand up against sin and sinful practices in our city and in our nation, our community, that somehow we're to be considered arrogant, ignorant, and wrong. Now, we've been called arrogant, wicked, evil, and stupid also by some of those that are in the sodomite lifestyle and in that community. I just think, when I think of that, I just think, wow, it's evident that there is a serious error in the understanding of these words. Show me in history. Point out to me a time of, or place, if you will, where the Christians as a group or individual, as Christians, rioted, smashed door windows, or encircled a church and chanting profanities and threatening others with harassment. Show me where Christians have done that, especially when it comes to speaking of the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. Show me where Christians have marched and demonstrated and broken store glasses. But here's an article. Vandals hit Chick-fil-A during a gay pride event. A Chick-fil-A franchise in Stuart, Florida was packed with patrons August 1st of 2012. And it goes on to talk about that event. Then here's another portion. LGBTQ community members and organizations during June observed Pride Month with a variety of events for special interest groups. In one location, this was just in the past few days now, Manhattan, New York, someone vandalized a Chick-fil-A restaurant during Sunday's Gay Pride Parade. The report said that the images showed the words blankety blankety blank scrawled across the window and X in red duct tape bearing the same words. Chick-fil-A has been the target of LGBTQ hate since its owner advocated for traditional marriage. The company's critics are further infuriated when they discovered its contributions go to conservative charities. The scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that a sodomite lifestyle is a chosen, sinful lifestyle. It is something that is not genetic. It is something that is not in the DNA. It is something that you cannot find any place by scientific discovery, as we'll talk about in a moment. And this particular article says, I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at God and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes marriage, according to Kathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A. He says, since then, it's been the specific target. Chick-fil-A has been the specific target of discriminatory practices in several airport concessions, disputes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and on multitudes of campuses across America. Chick-fil-A has repeatedly, in its business of serving, shown hospitality to everyone. But yet there's a dogma and a demand from the LGBTQ community that Chick-fil-A owners bow, bend, lick the boots, embrace, and accept the intolerance and the ignorance and the arrogance of that sinful lifestyle group called the LGBTQ. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be watchmen on the wall, screaming, watch out, God's judgment is coming. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, I think a doctrine that is not taught anymore, except for fundamentalist churches, is separation. I remember I went to Trinity Baptist Church for 15 years, and they taught separation. But I went to a Southern Baptist church for just a few months, and during that few months, they had a woman preacher, they even had a Catholic priest behind the pulpit. I don't think they understand that we're in a war against the devil and against the world. It's something that's just not taught anymore.
You're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your call. Let me address that very poignantly and very clearly. We're finding across the nation where there is an embracing of the LGBTQ lifestyle. In fact, in every mainline denomination, including Roman Catholicism today, there is the factor that you must embrace that which is evil. There's a mindset, I've used the term, the focus on numbers, nickels, and noses. There's a fear in every denomination that if you confront sin, if you stand on the truth of that, thus saith the Word of God, that you're going to lose numbers, nickels, and noses. You're going to lose people, lose income, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I've said many, many, many times in the past 53 years that we need to be aware that we're to please God and not man. We need to be aware that our responsibility is to preach the Word, teach the Word, if we have to stand alone and cry out as the watchman on the wall, warning of God's Word and the transgression against His Word in our nation today. You're exactly right, and it's not a matter of which denomination. It's a matter of to what degree that particular denomination has bowed to the sinful sodomite lifestyle. We'll talk about that more in this broadcast, but thank you so much for your call and for your insight on that. You're exactly right, and I'm in agreement with what you have stated. May I remind us, we need to understand as believers, as Christians, we need to stand up. We need to be willing to be the target, if you will, of the accusation of being ignorant or arrogant or dumb or stupid or wrong. We need to be willing to take those kind of accusations if we're standing for truth. There's not a time that I can find. There's not anything in history. By the way, some will come up, well, go back and look at the time when all of these things were taking place, when the so-called Christians were supposed to be carrying out the Inquisitions and carrying out the Crusades. When the Catholic Church started responding with Pope Urban II in 1099, there'd already been 400 years of battle by the Islamics against the Roman Catholics. And when they fought back, then all of a sudden it was considered the Crusades being carried out by Christians. And it was simply a matter of retaliation and protection because of what the Islamics had been doing for some 400 years. And so don't give me anybody the challenge, we'll look at the Crusades. I want us to understand it was not biblical Christianity involved in that, number one. Number two, it was simply a matter of retaliation, a response to the destruction and the murdering rampage of Muhammad and his terrorists that were parading across the globe at that time. But I want us to understand Christians are not in the habit of, nor the churches in the process of, doing anything to retaliate, as we're finding in the LGBTQ community. But when you find that destruction of property, as with the Chick-fil-A buildings and the facilities, it is an intolerance on their part, not on the part of Christianity. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there are those that still say today that homosexuality is something that is impossible for them to change. Here's an article simply entitled Homosexuality. Homosexuality can refer to both attraction of sexual behavior between people of the same sex or a sexual orientation. Further, the article says, no scientific consensus exists as to how biology influences sexual orientation. Most scientists agree that it's unlikely that there is a gay gene that determines something as complex as sexual orientation, end quote. And yet we have those that will say, you know, God made me this way, and therefore I can't help myself. I just do this. I'm a homosexual because it's the way God created me. It's the way God made me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear. God is not wrong. God hadn't made a mistake. God hadn't created an error or mutation that is wrong and ungodly. The scripture is very, very clear in Genesis 1:27. God created male and female. That's man and woman. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God created a man and a woman, and God didn't make a mistake. God would not create a sodomite and then condemn the practice. God would not create a sodomite and then destroy two cities as a result of it, as you find in Genesis 19. In Genesis 19, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you find that Lot had invited two angels, and the angels came in the appearance in the form of men into his home. The men in Sodom watched, and they wanted, they were craving men, and so they banged on the door, demanded, and by the way, the scripture says in Genesis 19, that the men of the city, from the oldest to the youngest, that's how perverse it was, that's how pervasive it was, that's how painful it was to look at in relationship to what was happening. The men in the city banging on Lot's door, demanding that the men that they saw go in be sent out so that they could know them, the scripture says. That word know is the euphemism there in the scripture for having sexual relationship with them. That's how depraved Sodom and Gomorrah had gone. That's how low they had fallen, how they deep they had plummeted. And then you find in Genesis chapter 19, in verses 24 and 25, how God rained down fire from heaven, brimstone, fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and the scripture says, and all of the plains round about. Now, listen, ask a very, very clear question, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that I'm speaking to an intelligent audience. I believe that I'm speaking to that level of intelligence and understanding that you can recognize what I'm saying. If God created man that way, if God created the Sodomite that has no choice, why did he then destroy two entire cities for carrying out something that he had created? It's an impossibility. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains around about because it was sin. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, America must look up and look out because of the potential danger of God's judgment if we continue down this evil, demonic pathway that we're headed. May I remind us, if you can find today, and scientists have done this study, let me just throw this out for us. If you can find today, across America and around the globe, what's called identical twins. That means in the genome strand, that means in the DNA, they're identical. Two identical twins, two human beings that are identical. One turns to the life of sodomy. The other one does not. Why? It is not due to DNA or genes. It is choice. Because if in the identical twins with the same genome strand, the same DNA, and one turns into a lifestyle of sodomy and the other does not, it is certainly not because of DNA. It's because of lifestyle choice. It is a choice. It is a decision. But ladies and gentlemen, we have today even the politicians and the media that seem to push the so-called great gay pride lifestyle and the gay pride agenda. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with it every year in June where that's all you see, that's all you hear. And you hear the drag queen story time being carried out in our libraries and our schools with the overhead paid for by taxpayers that's forcing their agenda of immorality and indecency and the pedophile perverted, perverse agenda of recruitment for our kids today. I'm incensed by it. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we turn the tide and say to the media and to the political agenda, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend to what you're pushing. Even Oreo cookies today. I don't know if you read the article. Here's an article that says, oh, no, Oreo transitions to LGBTQ cookies. Oreo cookies unveiled on Sunday a special LGBT cookie edition of its iconic product, urging pride in making people use one's preferred pronouns. Quote, we're proud to celebrate inclusivity for all genders, identities, and expressions, end quote. The company is a division of International Foods, the food giant Nabisco. The article further says, the announcement said that in partnership with the National Council, listen, the National Council of Teachers of English, known as the NCTE, we're giving away special edition pronoun packets and encouraging everybody to share their pronouns with pride today and every day. Further, the article says Oreo's repeated responses to positive comments in its Facebook post made clear they're taking sides in the cultural war against half of Americans. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just with Oreo cookies. You go to just about every manufacturer and just about every producer of products, just about all of the stores and the businesses today. Somehow, someway, there's a feeling that they've got to bow to the sodomite lifestyle in order to get the sodomite dollars into the till. Target did that several years ago. Target's already been faced with 30 or 40 suits because they've allowed men to go into the dressing rooms and the locker rooms and the shower areas, so the clothes changing rooms for the women and the girls that go in. And as a result of that, they've been faced with that. They've been faced with a boycott now for about 3.5 years. Their stock has plummeted as a result of it. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not one thing that Target has that you can't buy someplace else. I contend that we need to continue to spend God's dollars in God's people's pockets someplace other than at Target. The fake media, all across the fake media, they push the Gay Pride Month. They push the sodomite lifestyle. They make it as though it is somehow something that should be accepted. Most of the larger banks today are funding in some fashion the Gay Pride agenda, the Drag Queen Story Hour agenda. Most of the department stores are doing that today. You would think that somehow, some way, the sodomite community would be the majority of society, but they make up a very, very minuscule number in society. And here's an article that underlines what I just said. Americans vastly overestimate the size of the LGBTQ population. In what is a treatment of the marketing acumen of the LGBTQ lobbyists and promoters, U.S. adults on average continue to believe, listen, continue to believe that about 25% of the population is gay or lesbian. Overall, a full 90% believe in an inflated number, with 54% of Americans estimating that gays and lesbians constitute more than 20% of the population, according to a June 17, 2019 Gallup poll. Only 8% of those polled come close to any accuracy in estimating the LGBTQ population. In reality, the LGBTQ population in America consists of less than 4%, according to this article. Pew Research, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, 2014, says the LGBTQ community in America was 0.87%. The same time, the CDC research said that it was 0.67%. That is less than 1%. Let's say that now, just in the past 5 or 6 or 7 years, it's increased to 4%. Let's say it is 4%. But with 4%, they're controlling the political correct agenda today that allows the LGBTQ community to push their agenda. Here's an article that says that California wants to force pastors to adopt the LGBTQ agenda. California, which already demands that the public schools only portray homosexuality in a positive light and ban counselors from telling troubled youth that they don't have to be gay, now is moving against the pastors and other spiritual leaders. They apparently are guilty of telling homosexuals and others that the Bible teaches something else. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in deep, deep trouble as a nation when we're allowing this to promulgate itself in our society today. I've got an article here that's about 40 or 50 pages. And of course, time will not allow a broadcast to cover even a portion of it. But the bottom line is, the article says in this essence here, a great deal of research has been done, and despite the hype from different news outlets, there are no gay genes. Twin studies show homosexuality is primarily an environment and a decision. Homosexuality is not caused by any brain change. So then what is the purpose of it? Are you born gay? No, it is a choice, this article says. We've got about a minute and a half to go, but we got a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. We have to just give thanks to God for you and for the few others who are speaking out, shouting as much as I can in these days, because we realize we are in very serious times. But my concern, I don't know what we can ever do to get a good percentage of our population, citizens, those who are so-called intelligent. I have to say so-called, because if they were intelligent, really intelligent, it shouldn't happen. But they are tightly locked into what I regard as the political partisan box. Tightly locked into that box, is it shocking to know how many of those people are here and not hearing anything of what is going on? They are totally belong to everything that it is being spoken about, all they will read. For them, it is a serious crime, unpardonable crime, to turn to Fox TV or to listen to anything else. Only the media, the fake media, so they get no information and they're totally in the dark, and a lot of that population are church members too.
Yes,
locked into their political partisan
boxes. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. What you're saying is that so many listen to the fake phony news rather than real news, and so they believe the devil's lie. Our time is about gone, but let me just simply say, one of the things that is taking place, there is a stratagem among the LGBTQ. There are five stages of what is called the homofascism, and they have completed those five stages in the past 50 years. One is tolerance, the other is acceptance, and then celebration, then forced participation, and then punishment of its dissenters. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gotten to that fifth stage where there is punishment today for those that are dissenters of that which is a sodomite lifestyle, something that is unholy, ungodly. House Bill 5, National Equality Act, published and pushed by the Nancy Pelosi agenda, makes it a hate crime if it ever passes and is signed into law. It will be a hate crime for any Christian, any church, anyone that's a dissenter on that. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. God is still the answer. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.